You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This week, to be honest, is kind of back-end heavy on economic news, chock full of all the inflation and employment and wage data that a certain group of people who meet regularly around a giant conference table in a big marble building on Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C., just can't resist. I'm talking about the Fed here. You knew that, right? Anyway, today it was something called Personal Consumption Expenditures. PCE is the abbreviation, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation for all of those people sitting around that conference table. And in February, PCE was up 6.4% from a year ago. So keep that in your back pocket. Tomorrow morning, we get the March unemployment report, as part of which we will get, yes, of course, jobs data, but also wages. Last month, average hourly earnings were up 5.1%. The challenge here, of course, is that as high as wage inflation might be, and it is still not beating out price inflation. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains the consequences.
When prices shoot up, folks get grumpy if their wages don't keep up because their paychecks are losing ground.
That means that real incomes, inflation-adjusted incomes, what we call purchasing power, is being squeezed.
That's Gary Schlossberg at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute. And there's a paradox here, because while wage gains strong enough to keep up with price inflation would be good for pretty much everyone in the economy, that would actually be bad for the economy itself, because it would drive even more inflation. Here's Andrew Hunter at Capital Economics.
A wage price spiral obviously would be a huge concern for the Fed.
A situation where workers' demands and expectations for wage hikes actually drive employers to raise prices. Hunter says some factors driving wages now are moderating, like small business demand for workers and job openings.
Labor shortages tentatively starting to ease a little bit, consistent with wage growth stabilizing over the next few months.
The last time the economy fell into a damaging wage price spiral was the 1970s and 80s. But nowadays, workers' leverage to demand pay hikes and sap economic growth is small, says Gary Schlossberg.
Stagflation was really more of a chronic problem in the 1970s due to strength in unions, cost of living agreements that were built into contracts, really chasing inflation higher.
What we have now is a pandemic-induced shortage of workers to meet soaring consumer demand, which has led to some robust wage hikes. And Claudia Somm at the Jane Family Institute says,
it is very rare for employers to cut wages. Some prices can fall. I fully expect used car vehicles to not be as expensive next year as they are right now.
Meaning, in time, workers' purchasing power should gain back some of the ground that's been lost to soaring prices. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Okay, a little bit more now on this morning's reading on PCE, specifically goods, stuff. We actually spent nearly $60 billion less on goods in February than we did in January, which in normal times might not be great.
But right now, it's good news because good spending has been way above trend.
Wendy Edelberg's the director of the Hamilton Project. She's also a senior fellow in economic studies at Brookings.
We have been gorging on durable goods. At least consumers have been.
Think about how we were buying stuff like refrigerators and washing machines, also cars back in the early days of the pandemic. Those are durable goods. And maybe we're finally not gorging on them.
We have been hoping that as demand pivots away from goods, we would see some of the pressure in this sector start to go away and softer price numbers as a result.
And softer prices we saw. Durable goods inflation last month, 0%.
I don't want to make too much of one month. Monthly numbers can be obviously quite noisy, but it is good news that durable goods prices basically moved sideways in February.
Wendy Edelberg at Brookings helping us out there. One place where prices did not move sideways, services. We spent almost $94 billion more on services in February than we did in January. But after years, literally years, of subpar spending in that sector, How do the businesses selling those services, think restaurants and hairdressers, right, for just two examples, how do they decide what their pricing ought to be because they've got their own rising costs right now to deal with, right? Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports on the services pricing dilemma.
The Crowbar and Grill in Laramie, Wyoming sells a lot of pizza and burgers, two things that have gotten a lot more expensive to make.
Beef prices are higher. Cheese is essentially doubled.
Manager Emily Madden says the restaurant has also increased wages to attract workers. To keep pace with those expenses,
we've had to raise prices about 20% in the last 2 years.
With the most recent increase this month, a basic burger with fries now goes for $14. So far, Madden says customers are taking it in stride, but she says it's a balancing act.
You know, not pricing people out of coming in, but also making sure that we can continue to pay our employees a decent wage and make sure our margins are where they should be.
Now is actually a pretty good time for businesses to adjust prices, says Shantanu Dutta, a professor of marketing at the University of Southern California. Customers know what businesses are up against.
It's in the air that costs are going up, wages going up, everything is in short supply.
And Dutta says there's something extra working in the service sector's favor.
Folks have been cooped up at home all this time, and you want to treat yourself. So I think that pent-up demand is showing itself.
That's true for Betty's Bath and Day Spa in Albuquerque.
It's amazing. We're double what our clientele levels typically were prior to the pandemic.
Owner Lisa McCullough says the spa just had an expensive remodel and supply prices have gone up.
You know, our massage oil, our lotion, our cleaning costs.
But with massages and spa treatments booked weeks in advance, McCullough says she's been able to keep prices stable. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.